Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. We are so excited that you are joining us for the show today. This podcast aims to explore a biblical life view in a conversational tone. Let's join our host and founder of Servants of Grace, Dave Jenkins, for today's episode. Thanks so much for listening.
Welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this podcast. And with me today, I have my friend Paul. Paul, welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast.
Great to be with you today, Dave.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Well, can you tell us a little bit about your life, marriage, ministry, and what are you working on ministry project-wise these days?
Yeah, well, I've been married to Karen for 33 years. The Lord has blessed us with 10 children. Our sixth grandchild is on the way, so we have a pretty busy life. We're in our 27th year of local church ministry, and so right now I serve as one of the pastors at Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. Part of my ministry includes writing. Writing is just a really, really helpful discipline for me. It helps my thinking process, helps me to really think more clearly, I think, about certain particular issues and doctrines. And so writing is just an overflow of my ministry here at the church. So I'm always working on something. Usually in addition to my blog ministry, I'm working on some kind of book project. So right now I'm working on a project that has to do with the theology of suffering. Also working on some mini books in an editorial kind of way.
Well, that's wonderful, brother. I've just enjoyed our couple interactions so far, and I just find you to be very encouraging. So I really appreciate about that about you, and know that you also very much enjoy writing, and I enjoy reading what you write. So keep it up.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, for sure. Well, can you tell us a little bit about this excellent book, Anxiety, Knowing God's Peace, why you wrote it, and how you hope it'll be received?
Well, I wrote it for two main reasons. One is the overflow of what the Lord has been doing in my own heart and life in recent years, but also because I really want to show believers that the Word of God truly is sufficient to speak to the issues of the heart that we struggle with. Really, I've been somewhat of a lifelong worrier, even when I was a child. But the Lord saved me at the age of 19, and when He converted me, I noticed immediate change in that area. But it has been, of course, a long journey, and it continues to be a journey as the Lord takes me further and further in understanding just how anxiety works in my heart and mind, and how then to apply the truth of Scripture to my struggle with anxiety. So I really want the Lord to use this book to strengthen His people, perhaps even to use it to introduce people to Jesus for the first time who haven't considered the relationship between being at peace with God and then experiencing the daily peace of God that really overcomes the anxieties that we all struggle with.
Yeah, that's really good. I like you, I struggle with anxiety. I have for I don't even know how long, and sometimes it's good, and other days, as you know, it's not. And why that is, that's a mystery, yeah. Right? So, but
it is. Yeah, emotions are mysterious. It's part of the way God has made us, and yet the Scriptures do speak to them, to what truth needs to be reigning in our minds, so that they stay in their proper place.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Well, in what way can perfectionism cause anxiety?
Well, I think that this is an interesting connection that the Lord has helped me to make over the years. Is I think that those who struggle with perfectionism, and I would put myself in that lump, you know, along myself with others there who struggle, there's a sense in which our heart is never fully at rest. In other words, we always feel like there's something more that we should achieve, something, you know, we can improve. And so there's a drivenness, which I think part of that is good, because the Lord does not want us to be just settling back and be, you know, apathetic and complacent with where we're at in life and in our relationship with Him, but taking it to an extreme, that sense of drivenness can become unsettling in our hearts. And so what I find to be really, really helpful people is to go to the scriptures and meditate on truth that has to do with who God says I already am, that in Christ I am already fully accepted by Him. Because sometimes there's a fine line between perfectionism and pleasing people or fear of man, and we can't always discern without the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So I find it helpful to remind myself that in Christ I am already accepted by God, fully accepted, because He sees me in union with Christ. And so there's a balance there, a need to rest in who I am in Christ as God says I am in His Word, but also then be pressing forward to becoming more and more like Christ. So sometimes it's a delicate balance to strike, but I find that that's what helps me when I'm struggling with that trap, you know, the trap of perfectionism, we might call it.
Yeah, that's really well said. I do the same thing. One other thing I find that helps me is just to understand expectations. What are my expectations for the thing that's causing me anxiety? That just helps me to going back even further in high school, one of my mentors in high school told me the Christian life is all about perspective. And so it just helps me to keep things in the right perspective. And another thing that helps me is my wife will, when I have an anxiety attack or I'm just really anxious or even discouraged or depressed, she'll ask me questions and she knows I know the answer. So she's not asking because I don't know the answer. Although sometimes she asks me theology questions, but this is more like she's wanting me to give an answer a certain way. And I often get the answer wrong. Because, again, not because I don't know the answer, but because she wants it a different way. She's like, no, that's not what I was looking for. I'm like, so what are you looking for? And then she'll tell me. And then she has the opportunity to be used by God in my life to remind me of truths that I need to be reminded of. And that helps me so much. Like, it often gets me immediately out of my funk because I'm like, oh, yeah, yep, that's true. Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah.
You know, so. What does it look like to entrust ourselves to the Lord at night?
Well, I think that I've thought about this because so many people struggle with anxiety at nighttime, and it's a real hindrance to their sleep. So I've just thought about, you know, how the Word of God reorients our mind and our heart toward the Lord in such a way that we find our rest in Him. I find it really helpful to go to the scriptures, and even it's surprising to some people that the scriptures actually do talk about sleep in the sense of peacefulness at night. I love Psalm 3 in particular, where David says, I cried to the Lord and He answered me from His holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. And what you see happening there in that psalm is David is praying, so he's running to the Lord with his anxieties. He's also just reminding himself of the fact that God is for him a shield about me. He says, my glory, the lifter of my head. And so in his moment of fear and anxiety, David runs to the Lord in prayer, and he reminds himself as he's praying that the Lord is his protection, that the Lord will sustain him. The Lord will even, give him peaceful rest, peaceful sleep. And so I think that to entrust ourselves to God at night means to just kind of settle our mind and our heart. And before we go to sleep, to just say, Lord, you know what this day has been like. You know what has come at me. You know the things that I'm even fearful about right now. And as I lay my head down, I give all of these cares to you. I do as Peter said, I cast my cares upon you because you care for me. And that just that sense of letting go of those anxieties and really trusting the Lord that He'll take care of the things that we fear.
Yeah, that's really good. I do the same thing. I find that just to be really helpful. And then I sleep really well. Another psalm I like is Psalm 4:8. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You know, and we can take these and we can pray them. You know, Lord, I'm laying down, I'm about to go to sleep, and thank you that you are sovereign and you're at work in my sleep. You know, you're helping me to rest well, or you will help me to rest well, because you're sovereign and you don't sleep. And And so we can trust you. We can hope in you. And, you know, I just find that to be really helpful. You know, I often just recite scripture to myself when I fall asleep, just from memory, whatever particular passage comes to mind. And I'll just dwell on it and linger on it and then start praying it. And that just really helps me to fall asleep, to be at peace. There's a lot of things that happen in a day and for everyone. And I'm no exception. And if I don't do that, I don't sleep well. And then, you know, that just compounds, and I really just need my rest, as everybody does. But it helps my anxiety. So when I sleep well, I don't really struggle with anxiety as much. But doing that more consistently over the last couple of years has really helped my sleep and helped my anxiety. So I don't know if that'd help somebody out there, but maybe.
Yeah, I think one of the keys in that verse that you quoted there from Psalm 4 is that in you alone I find my safety. And it's not that God doesn't comfort us and provide safety in other ways and even through people in our lives, but the whole point there is the ultimate safety, the ultimate sense of peace that our heart needs in times when we are anxious is a peace that can only come from the Lord, because it's an internal work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important that we be regularly immersing our hearts and minds in the Word of God, because it is the truth of the Word that really always steers us in the right direction, and it puts our emotions in their proper place.
Amen. How should Christians address anger, irritability, and frustration in our lives?
Well, I think that, again, I think first of all, we should understand that emotions are not neutral or amoral, you might say. They're part of the way that God has created us, so they're created to be good, but because of man's fall into sin, emotions are a part of us that is affected by that. And so our emotions have the potential to be either godly or ungodly, or we might say God-centered or self-centered. And I think that it's important for us to remember that no matter what might be going on in our bodies related to anxiety, there's always something going on in our hearts in relation to God. And every struggle we have with anxiety really is an opportunity for us to trust the Lord more deeply. You know, anxieties tend to reveal the things that are really important to us. And so when those fears kind of take over our hearts, there's a sense in which the Lord, you know, can say to us, you know, will you trust me? You know, what are you so afraid of that you think that I can't take care of? Or, you know, remember that I've promised to take care of you, and there's nothing that comes into your life that hasn't first come through my permissive hand. And so just reminding ourselves of those things is really, really important. But I think that it's also really important to ask ourselves questions. So when we're angry, when we're irritable, when we're frustrated, you know, whatever name we want to put on it, I have found it really helpful to ask myself questions like, what exactly do you want, Paul? You know, what is so important to you right now that it's worth getting angry about? You know, what is so valuable to you? What is so important that you are afraid of losing it? And I'm not talking about material things. I really don't have, that is very rarely an issue with my anxiety. I don't have a whole lot, so I don't fear losing a whole lot, you know, but it's like, it has more to do with, you know, well, you know, what we value, what people think of us. We value, you know, people's opinion and things like that. And so that's why I said earlier, fear of man a lot of times is connected with anxiety, and we don't even realize it. So I think we ask ourselves those kinds of questions, and then we let the Holy Spirit use the Word to diagnose, you know, what's going on in our heart, kind of like it says in Hebrews 4:12, that the Word of God can get deep into our heart and even show us our motives, our expectations, those things that are going on inside of us that we really do need to entrust to the Lord or surrender to the Lord. And God is just so faithful to be patient with us and to work with us. I think if we have a heart that really wants to grow through our struggles, we begin asking those kinds of questions, you know, the kind of search me and know my heart, Lord, kind of questions that He will help us to see what's going on in our hearts underneath all those emotions.
Yeah, that's really well said. Just kind of picking up on that, you know, just recognizing our limitations and what triggers those things in our lives.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's part of the battle, you know, whether you struggle with anxiety a lot or a little, you know, it's certain things in my life, they trigger my anxiety. And, you know, understanding that is part of my battle with anxiety. You know, for you listening, you have to figure out what that is. And, you know, the thing is, those around you, they probably know what that is. So if you ask, they'll be able to tell you and be open to that. Be receptive to that, to their counsel, because they care about you.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I love how you turn to Philippians 4 in this work and your explanation of this great chapter. Can you briefly sketch out how this passage helps Christians to address anxiety in our lives?
Yeah, for sure. I think that this passage of scripture has been really helpful to me, but beyond the simple verses that are often quoted in relation to anxiety, you know, to not be anxious but about anything, but to pray about everything, we tend to just jump right in there and not really see the context. And I have found that just understanding the context there of Philippians 4 is so helpful. It gives a much deeper understanding and richer application for the exhortations that are there from the apostle. You know, that the theme of the book is about joy. It's about rejoicing. It's about choosing to rejoice no matter what is going on in our lives, that to rejoice in the Lord always. So even though our circumstances may not necessarily be cause for joy, there is always a reason to rejoice in the Lord and what we know about the Lord, and to turn our eyes upon Him, to turn our eyes away from our circumstances, not in an irresponsible way, but in a way that says that they are not supreme, that the Lord is supreme, and He, no matter what is going on, always cause to rejoice in Him. And that then leads into, you know, this exhortation to not be anxious about anything, but to pray about everything. I find it interesting to also the way that verse ends there in Philippians 4:6, to with thanksgiving let your request be made known to God. I think it was many, many years, you know, that I was kind of claiming that verse or running there to pray about everything without realizing that actually the thanksgiving part was a big part of God's remedy, you know, because as we consciously not just throw our needs at the Lord, cast our cares upon Him, but we stop for a moment and with thankfulness acknowledge all that He has done and is doing for us, it naturally shifts the focus of our hearts away from the things that we're afraid of, that we're anxious about, toward the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. And then Paul says then that the peace of God then, as a result of that thankful, submissive kind of prayer, the peace of God in an experiential way floods our hearts and pulses in a way that really is beyond understanding. It's mysterious how the peace of God really does flood over our anxieties and cares. And then, you know, we're kept safe by the Lord. But then Paul doesn't even stop there. Then he goes on to say, you need to think rightly. So anxiety also involves the mind, or fighting anxiety involves the mind. We need to equip our minds with truth, things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely. So there's so much going on in us when we're anxious. It involves the mind, it involves our heart, it involves our affections, it involves our will, and just to be letting the Word of God minister to our inner person in such a way that it redirects our thoughts, redirects our affection to the Lord is just a massive help for me and should be for every believer, really, in the fight against anxiety.
That's really well said. Really well said. How important is it to remember the Lord's past activity and continual activity in our lives?
Well, I think we are people who are forgetful. So when we're anxious, we need to consciously remember, oh, wait a minute now, we've been down this road before, so to speak. Now, not that the circumstances are exactly the same, because actually they rarely are, but in the sense of, okay, wait a minute now, there have been other times in my life when the Lord has shown himself to be faithful. I mean, just going even back to the grace of God and our salvation, remembering all that God has done for us in Christ, you know, when the cares of this life begin to pull us away from the Lord and our focus away from the Lord, I find incredible help in remembering all that God did for me in the saving of my soul. And as Paul says in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will we not also with him graciously give us all things? Now, they're the apostles working from the greater to the lesser. In other words, if God has given to us his son, then what? Then everything else is lesser than that, because that's God's greatest gift. So if God gave us his greatest gift in his son in order to provide for our salvation, then all these other things that I'm concerned about are lesser things. And God will, in his grace and in his loving care, as my Heavenly Father, do as he's done in the past, and he will do in the present the same. That is, he will be faithful, he will be gracious, he will be merciful. And that's incredibly calming to the anxious heart.
Yeah, I really like that. Rehearsing it, just saying, hey, this is what God did in this period of my life. You know, we all have, if we all have those things that have happened in our lives where we can look back and we can see God at work in our lives, you know, and just maybe picking one event. You know, you don't have to pick the totality of your whole Christian life, but maybe just pick one event and just remember what happened there. You know, you might not remember all the details, but clearly you can see God at work in that specific situation. And then just let that inflame your heart with, you know, inflame your new affections with hope, and that'll change your outlook on your present circumstances. So
and that's where keeping a journal can be so helpful to the believer. Maybe it's a prayer journal, you know, where you record answers to prayer. Maybe it's a journal where you keep a record of your devotional thoughts and things like that. Because we are so forgetful, it's good to go back. In fact, even in the writing of this book, so many of those seed thoughts were things that I had jotted down, you know, in my journal during my devotional time. And I thought, you know, the Lord just has a way of multiplying the usefulness of something. You know, that in the ministry we can take the truths that have been so helpful for ourselves, and we can reprocess them and rework them and share them with others in a way that ends up being helpful to them as well.
Well said, brother. How can the promises of God help Christians address anxiety in their lives?
Well, you know, promises, I like to consider God's promises being like anchors or, you know, rock solid truths that can always be trusted, because life is always changing. Life is always moving along, changing unexpectedly. And so sometimes we feel like, you know, we are in a boat on the sea and the winds are blowing and the waves are crashing. And, you know, so what are we going to anchor ourselves to? And our emotions certainly are not something that we can anchor to, because they're always changing and they're not reliable. So we need to go to something that is reliable, which is the truth of God, promises of God. And for the believer in Christ, and this is incredibly rich because of what Paul says in Corinthians, that in Christ, all the promises of God find their yes. So all the promises of God find their fulfillment ultimately in Christ. So if God says in his word that as a believer in Christ, I am united to Christ, then the promises of God are for me rock solid truth to cling to, for my faith to cling to, because my faith is not always strong. Sometimes I'm really weak. And so I need to run back to those truths, just tie my rope, you know, the rope of my faith around those pillars of truth, and just stay there until the Lord's peace then takes over the soul again.
Yeah, I like what you're doing. What you're telling us is, without saying it in so many words, is you're saying, you know what, we have an objective word for our subjective feelings, and we have to tell our feelings the truth. Hey, this is the truth about what you think about such and such thing, and this is what God has to say about such and such thing. And we should be so
fit. There's nothing new. Yeah, there's nothing nothing new about that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the psalmists do over and over and over. They talk back to their emotions with truth about God, and that's exactly what we need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I went through about 7 or 8 years ago. My dad disappeared for a few years, and we didn't know really where he was. And then he came back, and we found out that he had dementia. And actually, at this time, I was studying Hebrews, and you talk about the promises of God. I mean, the sufficiency of Christ is the theme of that book, and in particular, Hebrews 13:5 has become something of a life verse for me. And just realizing, hey, this God is unchanging. And so I can trust him. I can hope in him. You know, as you just said, the Psalms, they repeat this theme over and over again. You know, and David is downcast, and then he realized, hey, I need to hope in God. I can hope in God because he's unchanging. He's steadfast. He's unmovable. He's a rock, a fortress, and a pillar of truth, and a very present help in time of need. And you know, we could go on and on with that for a couple hours, really, but it's so helpful. Just going back to that, hey, God is faithful. What does that mean? It means in the midst of my whatever I'm struggling with, I can trust him. Wow. That's...
And that he never changes. You know, that's an amazing truth. You know, one of the attributes of God is that he never changes. We're changing all the time. Life is changing all the time. But God never changes. And so to run to him is such a great security.
Amen. What does it look like to relax in the Lord?
Well, to rest in him, to... you know, I take that concept from Psalm 46, you know, where we read, "Be still and know that I'm God," you know, to quiet ourselves, to stop fretting, to relax, to rest in what we've been talking about, to rest in the truth that God is who he says he is. He really does faithfully carry through on his promise to be our shelter, to be our refuge, our hiding place. I think that's what really that whole concept of relaxing in God is all about. It's not passive, definitely not passive. It's an active running to the Lord, hiding in him, knowing that he is our only truly safe place in Christ. You know, for the unbeliever, God is not a safe place. God remains the judge. But when we come to Christ, when we acknowledge our sinfulness and our desperate need of the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and we repent and we believe in Christ, then we are accepted by God, and we are cared for in union with Christ. And he truly is our safe place, our, as the psalmist says, our hiding place. And so it's an active exercise of our faith to rest in the Lord and all that he has promised to us in Christ.
Yeah, that's really well said. How do we counsel those who struggle with anxiety?
Well, I would say we should be good listeners. I think that we should pray with one another. I think we should open the Word of God with one another. That's another one of my hopes for this devotional, is that it's not only something that people will go through alone, but maybe they'll go through together with someone else to help to understand how the Word of God applies to our hearts, to our lives. I think, too, to be compassionate and understanding. Now, if another believer has the courage to come to us and confess that they really are anxious, that they're really struggling with anxiety, now, I don't think the answer is to just say, well, you know, you just need to trust Jesus more. Well, I mean, obviously, I think we, bottom line, you know, we do know that it's a trust issue. But, you know, we really need to stop and think more highly of others than we do ourselves, and listen well. Help them, let them share their heart with us, and ask them questions. You know, so, you know, what are you afraid of? What are the things that you're really concerned about right now? What are the unknowns that you are afraid of? Because in asking those kinds of gentle, heart-searching questions, we discover then the things that need to be prayed about, fears that need to be confessed to the Lord, and the comforting truths from Scripture that we need to apply to help that person to understand that the Lord, the living Lord of the universe, is actively involved in their situation, and they can and should run to Him. So it's praying together, it's opening the Word together, it's listening to one another, and it's in really loving one another with the truth of the Word of God, and being a good, reliable, faithful, compassionate, biblical friend. I think that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's really good. One thing I found personally helpful is the best pastors that I've ever met. They do offer counsel and wisdom from the Word, of course, but they're not quick to do that. They're slow to do that. So I really appreciate what you said about listening, asking lots of questions. Some of the best shepherds that I've ever had, they may not even offer any advice. They may just come over across the table and give me a hug and comfort me and then pray for me, you know, and that says a lot. That says, I really care about you.
Yeah.
A person, I love you. You know, that doesn't mean later on that they're not going to talk to me about things, but in the moment, you know, I think that's appropriate too. Not being so quick to feel like we have to give an answer immediately, but you know, they're in God's kindness, there might be another opportunity to say some things. And sometimes the best thing to do is just say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I love you. Let's pray. Let me encourage you. And that's it, you know, and let it go.
I love how you just said that. Let's pray. You didn't say, I'll pray for you, but let's pray. And that's actually something the last few years, we as elders at our church have been consciously working at, is when we have conversations with people on Sunday mornings before and after the service, to not say to them as they're sharing their needs and as we're asking questions, to not say to them, well, I'll pray for you this week, but to actually stop that very moment, even if we need to step maybe out of the foyer or find a little corner that's a little quieter, and just say, let's pray about that right now. Because I have found that it's so easy for us to just say, well, I'll pray for you this week. And then, you know, life is crazy and we forget. But to actually take a moment and pray, in one of my periods of greatest anxiety, I remember crying out to some men in my life saying, would you come and pray with me? And we just need to be so careful that our lives don't become so busy that we can't even go over to someone's house and pray with them in their living room, or pull them aside before or after a church service and say, let's pray right now. I mean, that happened to me even just in the last 2 weeks. I was sharing a burden that we're going through as a family right now with a friend I had met at a conference. And he right there in the middle of the conference bookstore just put his hand on my shoulder and said, can I pray for you?
Hmm.
He just prayed for me right there, you know, in the middle of a crazy, busy conference bookstore. But I tell you what, it ministered deeply to me, because he right there at that moment took me to the throne of God in my moment of weakness and my moment of need for mercy and grace. And so, as you said, really, in all that you were just talking about, Dave, is that we need wisdom and love mixed together, always under the umbrella of biblical truth, of course. But to know what we need to say, when we need to say it, when we need to just not say anything, and be there and be a present help for people, it's just so important. I think that as we are growing in the Lord ourselves, immersing our own hearts in His Word, we're going to be more and more equipped to be those compassionate friends and ministers of grace that we need to be.
Yeah, that's really, really well said. Well, brother, where can people go to find out more about your work online, either on social media or otherwise?
Pretty much the one stop would be at my blog site, counselingoneanother.com. I've been blogging there for over 9 years now, and that's kind of the collecting spot for all of my stuff, and that's where people can contact me and see the other resources there. But you know, there are thousands of free resources there, articles, blog posts from the past 9 years or so, and as the name, you know, suggests, my conviction is that God has, in His Word and His Holy Spirit, through the church, equipped us to counsel one another, to bring the truth of God to one another in wise, loving, and helpful ways, so that we will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hmm. Amen, brother. Well, Paul, there's a lot that we could dive into about this, even in more detail than we already have. Just as we wrap up, do you want to give us a few takeaways?
Yeah, I would say understand that if you're listening today and you are like Dave and me, and you do struggle with anxiety at least from time to time, I would just say stop for a moment and realize that though your anxiety is very real, it is something you sense and you fight, you struggle with, that there is something that is more real, which is God's love for you and his promise to be present with you. I think also it's important to take a long view in the fight of anxiety, that overcoming anxiety isn't going to be a one-time event. It really takes time to develop new ways of thinking. It takes discipline. It takes listening to the Lord, that is being in the Word, feeding your anxious heart with the words of God in Scripture, taking your cares to the Lord in prayer. But let me also just encourage you not to do this alone. As Dave said earlier, in this podcast, there are times in which the Lord uses his wife to ask the right questions, or as they pray together, that the Lord ministers to him. So seek out a Christian friend. Sometimes in our battles, we tend to isolate ourselves and think that we need to fight this alone. So make sure that you are involved in the life of a local church. If you're not a member of a good Bible-believing church, you need to seek one out. You need to find one, because you just can't do this alone. These battles are too hard. And God just never intended for us to go through these struggles alone. So those are the things that I would say are important. Discipline yourself in those areas, and the Lord really will help you to experience his peace, to know his peace in ever-growing and deeper ways.
Well, that was wonderful, brother. I so agree with you. We need one another, and that's
absolutely
kind of... That's kind of what we've said. We need Christ, and we need one another. And you said that so well. So thank you. I so enjoyed this conversation. It's been really fun and refreshing, and I believe that it'll be helpful. Guys, Paul's book is called Anxiety: Knowing God's Peace. It's part of the 31-day devotional series. I commend that series to you and this book, and would just encourage you to go ahead and pick up all of them. You'll enjoy them. There's something that you can just use for your devotional time, to think through these things more. So I encourage you to pick those up.
Well, Dave, it's been a joy to be on your podcast today, and I pray the Lord continue to bless your ministry.
Thank you, brother. You too.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you were encouraged by today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. For more uplifting and thought-provoking content, please visit us online at servantsofgrace.org. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Servants of Grace, and on Facebook at facebook.com/servantsofgrace. We hope you have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.